Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. With the Lord's help, we will conclude the message I've been sharing on our Christmas gifts for the Lord. And we have looked at the gifts of the wise men. Yesterday we were talking about the importance of myrrh. Myrrh was used for anointing oil, it was used for ceremonial cleansing, it was used for perfume. And one last reference I'd like to give in that regard is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, in verse 12. The word says, "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed." And the word goes on describing all sorts of pleasant fruits and spices. Verse 14, "Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with the chief spices." Verse 16, the bride is saying, invites the bridegroom, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." Also, a fourth use of myrrh was used for embalming. It has a preservative effect. We know in John, the 19th chapter, verses 39 through 40, I won't read it, but the body of Jesus was wrapped in linen with spices of myrrh and aloes. And beloved, what's the significance for our life? The Holy Spirit is our preservative, if you will. Jesus was sealed with the Holy Spirit, as we are also. 2 Corinthians 1 and 22, and that's speaking of the Lord, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Ephesians 1 and 13 says, "You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Beloved, that's our preservative in the world in which we live today. Ephesians 4 and 20 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And Jude begins his epistle, I'm quoting, "To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved," there we go again, a preservative effect, "in Jesus Christ and called." Beloved, you and I are preservatives to our generation. The Holy Spirit we have is a preservative not for death, but to life, to proclaim eternal life, everlasting life found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, the fifth aspect or characteristic of myrrh that I'll share with you is in medicinal purposes. Of course, this was used in ancient times, not today, of course, but in Mark, the 15th chapter, verse 23, let me read that. Verse 23 says, "And Jesus was on the cross, and they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not." It was also referred to as gall, and that Hebrew word rush, R-O-S-H, generally translated gall, in the English Bible is in Hosea 10 and 4, rendered hemlock. Gall drew wild in the fields, and it seems evident that the Hebrew term denotes some bitter and perhaps poisonous plant, such as hemlock or the opium poppy, which would have a effect of deadening pain. In Deuteronomy 32 and 32, there's reference to some berry bearing plant intended, such as poppies. And in this case, gall or myrrh, used medicinally, would be as an anesthetic and tend to diminish the sense of suffering. And of course, doesn't that say something about Jesus and the price he was willing to pay? So what does this speak to our hearts today, beloved, about anointed service? Do we have myrrh to offer today? Well, beloved, we have a ministry, a medicinal ministry, healing ministry, if you would, to a sin-sick world. We have a word of comfort. We have a word of hope. We have the word of faith that God gives to us. He's the author of our faith. If it wasn't for the Lord and that faith that he placed in our hearts when we accepted him, we would have not been open to his wooing, to his drawing, the powerful, precious work of the Holy Spirit to bring us to the Lord. Psalm 147 and 3, and this is talking about what the Lord does in our lives, one of the things. He healeth the brokenhearted, the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He's able to do that in our lives. God comforts us in all of our tribulation. Why? For what's the purpose? Not only because he loves us, but that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That's 2 Corinthians 1 and 4. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:18, Paul declares, "And all things are of God, praise God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ," hallelujah, "and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." You see, beloved, Jesus went to the Father. He said, "I wouldn't leave you comfortless." He sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and he has enabled us to be ambassadors of the new covenant, to speak the gospel of reconciliation. And beloved, we do that not just by our literal words, but we do it by our life. We evidence the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, which are such precious commodities in today's world. Beloved, you and I have the stewardship of the gospel. We are his messengers. God has sent us forth into the world, each of us. We all have different abilities, different gifts, different talents, but God has placed each one of us in the body of Christ that we can show forth his praise, show forth his glory. We decrease that he may increase until that glorious time comes when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as waters cover the seas. Praise God. Let's go back now to my original text found in Matthew, the second chapter. And it speaks of Jesus and when he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And remember the wise men, they saw his star in the east. They went to King Herod, and they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Verse 2, "For we've seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." And when Herod heard these things and all of Jerusalem, they were troubled. He was the king, you see. And they said unto him, Herod asked the chief priests and scribes, "Where is he? Where is this Christ that should be born?" And they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet," and that was prophet Micah, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And then he sent for the wise men. He said, "Go, search him out when you come back. Come back to me, give me word that I may come and worship him." And so we see in our own experiences, just as they, when they heard the king, they departed. Lo, the star which they saw in the east went before him, till it came and stood over where the young child was. They worshipped him, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Their long journey found success, and when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So they worshiped the Lord. They had an encounter with the child Jesus. We also have had a similar encounter as we received him into our lives. And also, beloved, the point of this message is these are our Christmas gifts to the Lord. We can present him gifts, even as they did, the gifts of gold, that life which is fully surrendered and yielded to the Lord. Frankincense, our prayer and praise, and myrrh, our anointed gifts of worship and service. We are giving our gifts back to the giver of every good and perfect gift, the creator, the originator of all, our magnificent God who dwells in the heavens of heavens, and Jesus, our precious Savior, who humbled himself to become born of a virgin and enter into our experience, knowing all the things we have experienced. He was tried in all points as us, but without sin. This is what the believer celebrates as we remember Christmas. No, I know it wasn't the exact day, but we acknowledge and rejoice and celebrate the fact that he was born. Amen and amen. Well, beloved, I thank you for joining me. My prayer has been that you, whatever you're doing, you'll be blessed and experience the precious presence of the Lord as you remember his birth. As always, I invite you to write, share your prayer needs. The announcer will give our contact information. And if you email, I invite you to share your mailing address so that I might respond to you with personal ministry of a letter that God would give to bless your heart. I thank the Lord for the privilege we have to share this time together. I pray for you every day, my UCM partners and my Radio Flam family. Praise God for that precious gift that was given so long ago, Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, till next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.